Hello, I'm Chaplain Blimey Gregory, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And I pray that this word that I'm going to share with you will encourage your heart and bring joy to your soul and hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. I would like to begin the broadcast with a word of prayer. Father, I pray for all of my listeners. I ask, Father, that you bless them and bless them indeed. I ask that you enlarge their coast. I ask, Father God, that you keep them from sin and evil, that it may not grieve them. And I ask, God, that you bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, today souls will come into the kingdom of God, and that you'll take this broadcast and, Lord, bring revival across our land. God, take this broadcast and encourage the hearts of your people. We pray for those that are sick, for those that are downhearted, those that are suffering this day. We pray that you touch them and help them in their hour of need. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk to you about how to prepare for disaster. I don't know if many of you watch that program on TV. It's called Doomsday Preppers. It's for people that are prepping for the worst to happen. I don't think we as God's people, I'm not a doomsday prepper. I am a kingdom prepper. I'm getting ready for the kingdom of God. But there are steps that we must take to prepare ourselves and the ground that we're on for when we do receive bad news or things happen. Because when you have prepared your heart and you have prepared your ground and you have prepared yourself, you don't have to be afraid, just be prepared. But there are steps in God's Word to make us prepared. And one of the greatest examples is King Jehoshaphat. Now, we know we are rapidly approaching the time when many of the prophecies concerning this age is being fulfilled. And we must be ready for the coming of Jesus. And we know that before the coming of the Lord, many things are going to happen. And we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be disencouraged. But we need to be prepared for the times that we receive disastrous news. How to prepare for a disaster. How to prepare for bad news. I want to give you the remedy for that today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12, is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible that I love this prayer, and I pray this prayer many, many times. King Jehoshaphat was praying this prayer, and I want to give you part of the prayer that he prayed. It's in verse 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What a beautiful, powerful prayer. Let me read it again. Don't you think we as individuals and we as a nation need to pray this prayer? O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Now he's talking about armies that were coming against him and his country. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat was saying in the scripture, Lord, we just don't know what to do. This thing is too big for us, but we're going to put our eyes on you. You know, if the leaders of our country would declare this day, we don't know what to do with our country, if they would admit, we just do not know what to do. But we're asking that all of America this day put their eyes upon God and let him tell us what to do. Now, let me tell you. The leaders of our country may not, they may, and they may not do that. But Blonnie Gregory is asking you to do that right now. Pray that prayer with me right now. Oh God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, if you'll pray that with me, I believe we can actually feel a shift in our country across this land. When we say, God, we don't know what to do, but we're going to trust you, but our eyes are upon you. Now, let me give you a little background to this scripture before Jehoshaphat prayed this prayer. See, the kingdom of Israel at one time was together, all 12 tribes made up the kingdom, but there came a division in the land, and there was a split. The northern kingdom, which was 10 kingdoms, and then the southern kingdom, which was 2 kingdoms. Now, Jehoshaphat was king over the southern kingdom, but he had been to the northern kingdom to give them alliance, to help them in a battle they were in. Now, this was quite a controversial move that he made, because the king of the northern kingdom was King Ahab, and you probably know much about that, Ahab and Jezebel. The Bible said that there was no one that worked wicked and done such wicked things as Jezebel and Ahab. And while Jehoshaphat thought he had to join alliance with such evil, I don't know, but he did. And when he did join his alliance to them and with them, it ended in disaster. It was not a good situation, and you could read about that in the chapter ahead of this. But when he had done this, he came back. King Ahab got killed. He tried to disguise himself and go into battle against God's word. And he was randomly, someone shot an arrow by random and it killed him. And it was just a disastrous time in the northern kingdom. But when Jehoshaphat came back to his kingdom, he was met with a prophet. After he had joined alliance with the wicked Ahab, he was met with a prophet. And the prophet told him this. He said, "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore, is wrath upon thee from the Lord." In other words, the prophet was saying, listen, should you help a nation, should you help the ungodly that hate you and hate your Lord and try to destroy you? He said, this will bring wrath on you from God. In other words, what the prophet was telling Jehoshaphat, you should not support ungodly nations that hate you and your God. Oh, come on. That is so powerful. The man of God came up in the king's face and said, listen, you shouldn't have supported the ungodly nation that hates you and hates your God. But when Jehoshaphat came back and he got that message, he had a house cleaning. He took the message serious. And he cleaned up the house. He cleaned up, when I say house, he cleaned up his kingdom. And this is some steps that he took when he cleaned up his kingdom. First thing Jehoshaphat did, he went to the judges of the land, and he gave them some instructions to the judges, to the lawyers, to the parties, or to the congressmen of the Senate, we would say today. Can you imagine our president going to the Congress and the Senate and giving the message that I'm going to give you here in just a minute that Jehoshaphat gave these people? Can you imagine the stir that would come in our country if our leader would do this? But this is what King Jehoshaphat said to the judges and the rulers of his land. Number one, he said, first thing you got to do is fear God. Can you imagine walking into the house to the Congress and the House of Representatives, Senate, and going in and say, listen, the President of the United States said, the first thing we got to do in our country is you got to fear God. Fear God Almighty. The second thing he told them, now listen to this. This would be astounding if someone would come in and tell our politicians and our leaders to do this. King Jehoshaphat told him, he said, do not do any iniquity. In other words, don't do anything that's wrong or unjust or evil or is in the criminal way. Don't do any iniquity or any ungodly living. Can you just fathom in your mind if the leaders of our country would get a message like that? This is one of the stipulations of you keeping your office. Number one, you got to fear God. Number two, you can't do iniquity. Number three, this is what Jehoshaphat said, and I love this. He said this. He told him, he said, don't be a respecter of persons. In other words, treat each man equally. Don't respect one group over another group. what you would do for one, you've got to do for the other. In other words, justice has to be justice for all. You can't bend the rules to suit someone that you have respect for. Don't be a respecter of persons. Oh, can you imagine how that would go over if it went out in our country today? And then the next one that Jehoshaphat told him, and this is really good. He told the judges and the rulers of his land, and you can read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 for yourself. He said, don't take any payoffs. In other words, don't take bribes. When someone comes and they try to bribe you to make a law to suit them, don't take a payoff. In other words, be honest in all your dealings. Don't be bribed. Don't take payoffs. What if, now, these four major things that Jehoshaphat told, what if we took out all the leaders and the politicians in our land that didn't fear God, that did iniquity, that was a respecter of persons, and they took payoffs? How many of them in this country do you think would be left? That's just something for you to think about. You can ponder on that. Now, I'm not saying that all politicians are evil. I'm not saying all leaders, and I'm sure there are some that are God-fearing and doing the right thing, but the majority. Let's look at the fruit of the majority. You can look at the fruit of the laws and the fruit of the land and see what's being produced in our country, and by that you can know what kind of leaders that we have in our country. That's not me saying that. That's just pure fact. Amen? But you know what? Jehoshaphat didn't stop there. He went to the priest and he gave them a message. Oh, can you imagine this coming down in the churches today? This is the one of the first things he told the priest. He said, all that you do, do it in the fear of the Lord. In other words, when you proclaim the word of God, don't do it for self-gain. Don't do it for self-popularity. Don't do it for self-esteem. But do it in the fear of the Lord, knowing that it is God that you're going to have to answer to and not man. And then number two, and this is such a powerful thing that Jehoshaphat told the priest, he said, do all faithfully and with a sincere heart. He told the preachers, we might say, of the land, everything you do, do it with a sincere heart. In other words, whatever you preach, brother, live it. Whatever you preach, live it. Do it with a sincere heart. Do it with all honesty. And don't make merchandise out of God's people. And then number three, and this is powerful, and this would be an awesome thing to be heard in our country today. He warned the preachers of this. He said, warn the people not to sin so wrath won't come on you and the brethren. Today we have preachers, and I've actually heard them on the programs and on the TV and camp meetings, as you might call it, in different programs, of telling the people that they don't have to worry about confessing sin. That they don't have to worry about sin. That just do whatever. God, it'll all work out. But Jehoshaphat knew better than that, and you should knew better than that. You should know better than that. He said, warn the people not to sin. Not how much sin they can do and get away with it, but warn them not to sin. So wrath won't come on you. Jabez prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, keep me from the evil and sin that it may not grieve me. Evil and sin will grieve you. Evil and sin will cause you trouble. And Jehoshaphat told the priest, he said, when you stand up, you warn the people not to sin. And you warn them that if they do, wrath is going to come on you and the brethren. In other words, there's consequence to sin. There's a saying I love. It said, sin will cost you more than you want to pay, take you further than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay. And you got to be careful about sin, because I saw a title of a book. I don't know what the book is about, but I sure like the title. It says, the devil will drive you crazy, so don't give him the keys. And I don't know, I have no idea what that inside of that book was, but I sure like the title. The devil will drive you crazy, so don't give him the keys. And let me tell you, dear ones, when you give When you're in sin, you're giving the devil the keys, and he is going to drive you crazy, and he is going to drive you to the point of destruction. So don't give him the keys. Amen. Keep the keys. And then he told the priest, he said, be courageous. In other words, preach without fear, without favor, and without compromise. And then he told them, the Lord shall be with the good. In other words, when you do good, God's going to be with you. Isn't that simple? Do good, God's going to be with you. Now, this is the ground. This is the preparedness. This is preparing a country, a heart, a person, an individual to face whatever's coming your way. This was preparation. In other words, clean up. Get back in God's Word. Do what's right. Put away your sin. And when you do that, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No enemy can come in and destroy you. God will take care of you. And when Jehoshaphat did this, when Jehoshaphat, he laid this ground, and he did what God told him to do, this is what he, and not long after that, he got a message. He got a message, and in this, in 2 Chronicles, verse 2, it said, and there came to and there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, and listen to the word that Jehoshaphat got. Listen to the word and the message that he got. If you've ever listened to a verse, I want you to hear this. 2 Chronicles 22. This is the message that King Jehoshaphat got. There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on the side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazon Tamara, which is in Engolai. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. And this is what the message that he got. He said, there's coming a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, and they coming to take everything you got, and they come in to take your land and cast you out of the land and take what God has given you. That's the message that Jehoshaphat got. I want to repeat it again. The message that he got was this. There's coming a great multitude from beyond the sea, and they coming in to take everything you got, to take your land that God has given you, and going to take it away from you. They're on their way. That's what the message Jehoshaphat got. It wasn't just a little small, it was mighty armies coming against him. And the message was, they're coming to take your land. They're coming to take the land that God gave you. They're coming to take everything you have, and they're coming to destroy you. And Jehoshaphat, this is what he did. See, he'd already prepared the people, and he'd laid out foundation. Let's do what's right, and when trouble comes, God will help us. First thing he did, he went into the temple and he began to pray, because he remembered God's word, and God's word said, when the enemy comes or you get in trouble, go to my temple. And if you can't go to my temple, just look toward it and I will deliver you. He remembered what God said. It does you good to remember what God says. You need to know what God says. Too many of us know what man has said. We're full of news. We're full of what man said, but don't know what God says. We need to know what God says. But Jehoshaphat knew. And then he sought the Lord, and he got all the people together, and he proclaimed a fast. And they all got together, and they stood on God's promise, and they asked for God's help. This nation asked for God's help. They were in a hopeless situation. Mighty armies were coming in to take their land that God had given them, take away their freedoms, make them slaves, and they asked for God's help. And the Bible says that they got a message from God. It said, don't be dismayed. He said, God said, I'll fight for you. And God gave them instructions. See, when you humble yourselves before God, even though the situation may look hopeless and helpless. If you'll seek God and if you have prepared your ground for good, when the trouble comes, and as Jehoshaphat prayed that prayer, he went on to pray, Lord, we don't know what to do. We have no might against this army. They're bigger than us. They're mightier than us. But our eyes are upon you. In other words, Lord, we're not going to look at the enemy. We're going to look at you because you are mightier than any enemy that could ever come against us. America, will you please believe that our God is mightier than any enemy that could ever, ever, ever come against us? And Jehoshaphat and the people of God sought God, and God gave them a remedy. And I want you to hear what remedy God gave them. God wrote them a song. God wrote them a song. And he said, the song that God wrote, he said, I want you to pick me out 20 good singers. Now I want you to picture this. Armies are lined up against you. And God said, pick me 20 good singers. And God wrote them a song. He said, I want you to sing this song. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. That was the song God wrote for him. He said, I want you to put those men out there before this army, and I want them to sing, praise God for his mercy endureth forever. And I want them to praise me in the beauty of holiness. In other words, I want it to be clean. I want it to be holy. I don't want anything defiled in it. I want you to praise me in the beauty of holiness. And he said, praise the Lord for his mercy and do it forever. And now picture this. The army of God didn't get their weapons. They just had their eyes on God. And God said something so bizarre that it was overwhelming, but they did what God said, and they put 20 singers out there, and they began to praise God. And when the enemy heard this, and I don't know in the spirit what God caused them to see, and it don't matter. It really don't matter, because let me tell you, when those 20 singers got out there and began to praise God, God set ambushments against the enemy. And they begin to destroy one another to the last man. In other words, they caused confusion to come up in the enemy camp, and God's army didn't have to lift a hand. They destroyed themselves. If you will praise God, God inhabits the praise of his people. If you will praise God, God will set ambushments against your enemy, and God will give you the victory. And he said, don't be dismayed. God said, you'll see God's salvation. He said, I'll fight for you. God said, I'll fight for you. You don't have to sweat it. Just praise me. Put your eyes on me, and I'll show you my salvation. Well, they killed one another to the last man. And you know what God's people did? They went down among all these armies, and they picked up jewels, they picked up gold and silver, they picked up, for 3 days, it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil that the enemy had. I want you to think about this. God sent them on a 3-day shopping spree, and it didn't cost them a dime. All they had to do was praise God. God sent them on a 3-day shopping spree, and all they had to do was go out there and pick up the blessings of God. And the Bible says they went back on that following day, and they named the valley where all of this took place, and they named it the Valley of Baraka, means blessed of the Lord. Today, I believe you and I are standing in the Valley of Baraka. I believe we can be blessed of the Lord. And I know that we can prepare ourselves right now for whatever may come our way in our individual lives, in our families, at our workplace, or in our nation, if we'll do like Jehoshaphat, if we'll establish a good foundation and do that which is right, turn away from sin. And if we'll seek the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. We have no might against this, but my eyes are upon you. And God told them what to do. God gave them the victory. And all they had to do was go out there and bless themselves. All they had to do was go out there and pick up the spoil that was laying among the enemy. God gave them a great victory in that day. God gave them a great mighty victory. But you know what? After they got the victory, they didn't forget God. It said on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the Valley of Baraka, for they bless the Lord. And they blessed the Lord in that place, and they called it the Valley of Baraka. Many years ago, a good friend of ours brought his little boy over to see us. And his name was Baraka. And we asked him, what in the world, why would you name your son Baraka? And he said, when I look at my little boy, I want to be reminded that I am blessed of the Lord. Today, I think you need to name some things in your life Baraka, because you have been blessed of the Lord. America has been blessed of the Lord. We are blessed of the Lord. We still are blessed, but we need help. We need help now. We can't keep waiting, but it has to begin with you and me. Once again, I want to read this prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed, and I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer with me. He said, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives, and their children. Our families are at stake. Our children are at stake. It's time we stand forth and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Help us, Lord. Call on God, and he will hear you. He'll not turn you away. I pray today that you'll join together with me in faith, and you'll pray with me and believe God and put your eyes on God with me, that we can see a revival to come in our land, that we don't have to be worried or dismayed when we get bad news, and Lord knows we get plenty of it when we turn the radio and the TV's on and we hear what's happening in our land. But God has the good news. If you put your eyes on him, he'll help us through any situation, and he can bring us to a valley of Baraka. I pray today that each and every one of you will prepare your hearts now. Get your souls ready so that when you're hit with something, you know, when you're drowning, it's not the time to learn how to swim. You should learn how to swim before you fall into the waters. And that's what I'm asking you to do right now. Learn how to go in faith now. Go now and depend on God, and we can see a mighty revival in our land. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Tune in again next week at the same time, and I know God's going to bless you. And remember, we're not discouraged, we're not afraid, but we are prepared in the name of Jesus, because our eyes are upon our Lord God. God bless you today, and have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Tune in again next week at this same time. God bless you all. May we be united as one nation under God, believing him for signs and wonders and miracles, and praying for our nation and for the leaders of this great country, that God will give us a turnaround time. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.